concern about Ebola spreads among healthcare providers. From APM in Washington, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update. A patient who contracted Ebola during a visit to Liberia died last week at a hospital in Dallas. Now, a nurse who helped care for that patient has tested positive for the virus. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention report a spike in the number of clinical staff, doctors, and nurses who are going to the CDC for guidance. At a news conference yesterday, the head of the CDC seemed to acknowledge there's been a problem with how it's communicated with healthcare providers, and he announced the agency plans to simplify its guidance and expand its outreach. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY, Dan Gorenstein reports.
Like lots of healthcare workers, Dr. Linda Gurgis is running through what-if scenarios in her head these days.
For example, if I have a patient who walks in to see me in the evening, the health department is closed, so we don't really have anybody to call at that time to know what to do with that patient.
Beyond that, Gurgis, who runs her own practice in New Jersey, worries EMTs who'd transport that patient aren't sure what to do either.
A lot of us don't feel that we're prepared to take the precautions to contain the infection.
You can never over-communicate enough, but I would say that we have done a huge amount of outreach.
Dr. Nicole Lurie is the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response at HHS in Washington. In a letter to all U.S. healthcare professionals, Lurie, who herself is a primary care doctor, outlined three steps to prevent the spread of Ebola.
Everybody involved has to recognize it's my problem, not somebody else's problem.
Lurie understands it often takes a while for something to sink in. That's why she says she's ready to repeat herself for as long as it takes. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
The railroad business has been heating up thanks to the energy boom in the U.S. Now there's word Canadian Pacific Railway has approached the U.S. rail company CSX about a merger. CSX reportedly declined. Marketplace's Amy Scott has been following this, and Amy, a deal seems to be off for now, but what would a company like this look like?
Well, together they'd have a market value of more than $62 billion, according to the Wall Street Journal, which first reported this proposed merger. Canadian Pacific is Canada's second largest railway. CSX is the third largest rail company in the U.S. And combined, they'd have some 35,000 miles of track across much of Canada and the U.S.
A lot of track. What's behind this rail resurgence? Is it oil?
Well, a lot of it is. Railroads are making a ton of money hauling crude oil from places like North Dakota and Pennsylvania. But I talked this morning to Steve Dittmeyer, who teaches railway management at Michigan State University. And he says there's also been a big surge in other traffic, grain from the Midwest and Canada. And as the economy has recovered, companies are just moving more cars and containers full of stuff.
The railroads are suffering right now from too much traffic that they're having a little difficulty handling. It's a problem, but it's a good problem that they have.
In fact, there have been a lot of complaints from Amtrak and from farmers trying to get their products to market that all this extra traffic is causing a lot of delays.
Marketplace's Amy Scott. Thank you very much, Amy.
Thank you.
In a month, a spacecraft called Rosetta is expected to land on a comet. The purpose of this European mission is twofold. Scientists say we'll learn more about the universe. Rosetta will also collect data that could help us figure out how to mine asteroids. The BBC's Russell Padmore has the story.
When Star Trek first hit our television screens, the idea of exploring a comet close up was pure science fiction. But 45 years since a man first walked on the moon, the European Space Agency is about to land a craft on a comet. The Rosetta probe has spent 10 years travelling 273 million miles to rendezvous with comet 67P, Churyumov-Gerasimenko. Understandably, scientists like Professor Jean-Pierre Biebring from the University of Paris are excited.
We are really in the middle of a revolution of our thinking of how planets evolve. Why do we have such a huge diversity when you compare Earth to Mars to Venus to Jupiter, whatever? How that's feasible?
The comet's orbit takes about 6 years travelling from beyond Jupiter, between Mars and Earth, before reaching its closest point to the Sun.
We're going to sample a comet for real.
Professor Matt Taylor is the Rosetta Project scientist.
This is groundbreaking science we're going to do, and that will lead us to a journey back in time to the origins of our solar system.
The world's mining community will watch the historic touchdown of Rosetta's separate landing unit closely. comets and asteroids are composed of valuable minerals, and technology is already being developed to mine those metals. Monica Grady is a professor in planetary sciences at the UK's Open University.
Say we're after something like the metal iridium or platinum, you're going to have to weigh up, is it more economically viable to dig down into the Earth's core or to go upwards to the asteroid belt, catch an asteroid and bring it back? And it's technically more feasible to actually go to the asteroid belt and bring something back.
It might still sound like science fiction, but within a few years, robots could be working on asteroids in space, mining the metal used to make your refrigerator or your car. In London, I'm the BBC's Russell Padmore for Marketplace.
Finally, the Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences has awarded this year's Economics Prize in memory of Alfred Nobel. Notice I'm being careful not to call it the Nobel Prize in Economics. The winner is French Jean Tirole, and the Swedish Academy says he won it for his analysis of market power and regulation. In Washington, I'm David Gurow with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.